blessings, and welcome to Freedom's Flame Radio. Thank you so much for joining us this day. And today I have a very special guest host with me. His name is Anthony Coco. Why don't you say hello, Anthony?
Hello, Eve.
Hello.
Good.
Welcome. Welcome, and thank you for being my co-host today.
You're very welcome. This is a first for me, so I'm very happy to join you.
Thank you, and I'm very honored and pleased that you are with me today. And I am your host, Eve Kerr, and you are now tuning into the Evinity Frequency. And we are so grateful to have you all with us today. And I just want to say a quick thank you and send my gratitude out to the wonderful individuals at BBS Radio, Doug, Don, and Deborah. You're wonderful, and I love you all, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to do this every week now. So thank you so much for your support and all your hard work and effort. You do a lot of work, and I want to acknowledge that. So thank you for being there for me. And so today, we have a really wonderful lineup. We're going to be talking about some really wonderful things with regard to both of my background and Anthony's background, my background being the I Am teachings and his background being in A Course in Miracles. And we're going to have some wonderful meditations and some wonderful music and some beautiful invocations and maybe even a couple of little surprise lovely, wonderful things for you all out there. So thank you for joining us, and so let's get started. The first thing I'd like to do is I'd like to share a little bit about a decree, and just to clear up any maybe misconceptions or confusions about what exactly a decree is. A decree, an invocation. And this has to do with the science of the spoken word. So before we make an invocation today, which is what we're going to do, I'm going to read something which is a really wonderful explanation, and it comes from a book called The Masters in the Spiritual Path by Mark Prophet and Elizabeth Clare Prophet, and it's the Climb the Highest Mountain series. It's on page 319, and it goes as like this. Decree. A dynamic form of spoken prayer used by students of the Ascended Masters to direct God's light into individual and world conditions. The decree may be short or long and is usually marked by a formal preamble and a closing or acceptance. It is the authoritative word of God spoken in man in the name of the I Am Presence and the living Christ to bring about constructive change on earth through the will of God. The decree is the birthright of the sons and daughters of God, the command ye me of Isaiah 45:11, the original fiat of the Creator. Let there be light, and there was light, Genesis 1:3. It is written in the book of Job, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. And that's Job 22:28. So it even tells you in the Bible that the decree, the science of the spoken word, is actually our divine birthright, and we do have the authority within us to command as the Christ consciousness, using energy in a constructive way to bring about that constructive, positive change that we wish to see in the world around us. And that change begins with us. So there's a really beautiful invocation. It's called the Great Invocation. Many of you are probably familiar with it. And if Anthony would like to lead us into that, that would be really wonderful.
Okay, thanks, Eve. What I have done, I put the Great Invocation to music. It's something I did quite a while ago. I find putting these decrees and invocation to music helps me to remember them and I find myself singing them, so I hope I can do this justice. Can you hear me all right?
Perfect.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. I usually do that about three times, but I think... How was that?
That was very beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you sound superb.
Thank you very much.
Very exquisite. I love the energy that you radiate, that radiates through you when you play music. And that's something I was really drawn to when we first connected. The first song that I listened to from you is called Because We Remember Heaven. And I'd like to showcase that song at some point in the show today, if that's all right with you.
Oh, you're welcome. I love to have my music played.
That's great.
I've never heard it on the radio before, so it's a great privilege for me.
Well, you know, I feel like it feels like it needs to be out there, because you radiate such a wonderful energy from your heart. It's a very heart-centered energy, and I could feel that. So anyone who's sensitive, who's, you know, open to that vibration, and who's, you know, wanting more of that frequency in their life is definitely gonna feel that very strongly. So I thank you and I commend you for your efforts.
Well, again, I thank you for giving me this opportunity to be able to air my music. It's been quite a long time since I've been, working with music and sound. And I started off writing invocations as well and affirmations. And there were many times when I thought, well, I wonder what I was going to do with all this music. But it seems like now is the time for it to come out.
It certainly is. And that was actually one of my questions for you today. How actually did you get into music? What led you to begin singing, and then eventually, I mean, you now you're singing to decrees. You're putting decrees to music. So how did that all come about for you? And was that part of your spiritual awakening? Was that kind of what brought you onto the path? Or did you have a certain, you know, like a wake-up call that brought you in? And did the singing come forth after that?
Yeah, the singing came after, really. I mean, I've always been pretty good at singing, and I've always had a kind of a natural talent towards singing. I used to hang around my brother and some of his musician friends, and I always wanted to be able to play and write songs. But for many years, nothing happened, really. It wasn't there until I finally started to consciously awaken and walk on the path. I started off at my local spiritualist church, and I started sitting in development circle, and I started working with healing energies and things like that. And along the way, I discovered while I was doing that, I was being inspired. Plus, at the same time, I went through quite a painful divorce and separation. So there was a lot of emotion coming through as well. And this helped me to channel that emotion and those feelings. And at the same time, I was receiving themes to write on, you know, for inspiration. And this was way back in the early 90s. And at that time, I'd learned to play the guitar as well. And I started writing these songs. And I wanted them to be on a spiritual theme. They weren't very well received in my locality at the time, but I enjoyed them.
That's important.
Yeah. And then over the years, I continued writing, and I had the privilege of spending time with some really good local musicians, which developed my ability to play music, and I learned to play other instruments as well. And so I've always had this interest and love for music and singing and sound. And one of the other things I like to do as well, I like to write my own meditations and put them to music and play around with different things like solfeggio tones and singing bowls and things like that. And sometimes I'll play with like paraliminals. I'll have different messages going in different sides of the ear and things like that. So I've played around with all kinds of different things with sound and music as part of my message. Does that make sense?
Oh, completely. For those of us who are not so musically adept with the lingo, what is a paraliminal for me anyway?
All right, a paraliminal. It was it's a spoken word, but you get different messages coming from different ears. You get one message coming in one ear and another message coming in the other ear, and it works on a subliminal level. So I was working with subliminals as well, you see, so that people, you know, could even go to sleep and listen to these things. So it's helping the mind to open up to an altered state or a higher frequency for the mind to expand consciousness. So I've played with different frequencies, you know, like the love frequency and the inspirational frequency and things like that, as well as paraliminals. So I've just been experimenting with things. And recently I've had a little go at doing some composition work, but I'm not so good at the composition. I'm still working on that. Work in progress.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. So what exactly brought you on your path? What was your aha, your spiritual awakening moment, your wake-up call, if you will?
I don't know so much if it was a wake-up call. I think generally throughout my life, I had a lot of unhappy experiences growing up, you know. And there was a part of me that just never felt at home here, you know. And I remember having kind of insights and things like that, that life just wasn't right. But however, as I got older, I kind of tried to do everything I could to fit in like people do, you know. But there was always this part of me that just couldn't quite settle. It seemed that I was just unhappy. I experienced a lot of pain, suffering. My relationships never seemed, things just didn't seem to work. And so eventually, you know, I started questioning. And I started looking at alternative things. Books came to me. I found myself being interested in things like UFOs and extraterrestrials. I found myself reading things like about out of body and astral traveling, reincarnation and things like that. And then finally in 1987, my grandmother passed over, and I'd remembered some of these books that I'd read. And I felt the inspiration to go to my local spiritualist church. And so I did that. And when I walked in, it's like I just felt like as if I'd come home. It was just such a warm feeling and welcoming. And then there was a medium on the platform giving messages. And then she came to me right at the end. And she basically relayed all the things that I'd been thinking about back to me. And right at the end, she turned around and she said, "Well, you know, you do astral travel," she said. Oh, wow. And that was it. I was just gobsmacked. So how could she know all these things about me? And then I continued going, and for months and months, I just kept receiving messages saying, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and you're going to do the other, and you're going to go into healing, halls of learning, all these sorts of things. And so I was just completely hooked. I was just so enthusiastic about the whole thing. But I say this is way back in 1987, it all started off. And then by the end of, close to the end of the 90s, I went through a very painful divorce. And that really kicked things up a gear, because it's like as if my life fell apart, basically. Emotionally, I was kind of all over the place. But it was like the spiritual interest and my drive to know more and more, you know, which kept me going. It was kind of exciting and scary at the same time. But it was like a drug. Once I got hooked, I just knew for me it was the right thing to do. So I just kept researching and going to lots of retreats and workshops and trainings. I sat with some of the top mediums in the UK and in Wales, which I was very privileged to do. And I just learned so much. And I just kept on. Later on, in the late 90s, I had the privilege of going to India and visiting Sai Baba with a group. That was a wonderful experience.
Wow.
They've all been wonderful experiences. There's been so many. I could just talk and talk about my experiences. And then in 2000, I went for another second visit. It was a wonderful visit. I went for a block of 6 weeks. And I just got involved with this group of Polish people, and I ended up coaching them. And it was a strange experience because I was seeing a lot of this this emerald green color everywhere. And I felt Sai Baba was talking to me and communicating. And it was basically, I was preparing this group for interviews. And I was kind of coaching them of what to say and what to do when he comes to them. And I said, I was so privileged because we got called in for an interview.
That's so excellent.
That was a highlight as well. I don't know if many of your listeners know much about Sai Baba, but for me, I just love him so much.
I'm familiar with him. I'm pretty sure that there are some of my listeners who are familiar, very familiar with him, and some are even students of Sai Baba as well. I'm sure that he has many students, though,
yeah.
for sure. And that was wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. It's really comforting to listen to you, because it's mirroring to me. That's almost a complete parallel for me. I came in awake, and I didn't even know what awake was. And I was raised Catholic, and but I noticed, like you, that just things just weren't right with the world around me. And I knew, you know, there was this part of me that was really fully conscious and knew that, okay, this is not right. Why is this going on over here? Why are my parents fighting? Why do friends not really act like friends and, like, you know, you know, authentic? You know, why isn't everything joyful? Why isn't everything always happy? Why isn't everything always loving? Why isn't everyone showing that, expressing that? And that really, it bothered me. And, you know, it felt like I had to put my authentic self on hold to try to adapt to this world, which was really like a, you know, a foreign planet. I felt like I was dropped off here. And then I also noticed later that, you know, going to church wasn't really helping me. You know, being religious, I didn't really understand the teachings. I had my own understanding, my own innate wisdom that was within me about God. And, you know, I had my own personal connection that was always there. But none of the teachings, like, I didn't know how to express, you know, my God self, and the knowing that I had about God, that I'm part of God. I didn't really feel like I was part of God being in religion. I always felt like God was somewhere else, and I didn't know where God was, and I didn't know what he was thinking about me, or, you know, if I was doing the right thing all the time. And I always felt like I was, you know, there was an eye on me always judging me, and that's how I felt in religion. And I just I didn't want any part of that anymore because it just really felt all wrong. And I was tired of feeling like I was a bad person, or, you know, because I knew that I wasn't. I knew that I was, you know, always living, trying to live by the golden rule. And that was kind of like the thing that I took in when I was little, you know, always do unto others, you know. So I always did my best to express myself to others how I would wish the world to express to me. And that was kind of how I sort of raised myself, actually, spiritually, because religion wasn't helping me. And the one thing that I found that I could be confident in was that what I really knew within myself consciously, I could do on my own. And I always managed to have, you know, good outcomes from those things. But there was just so much turmoil around me. It was really hard to balance that energy without really having a good, you know, instruction about, you know, God and, you know, the universe around you and what's really going on with energy. So, yeah, I can relate completely. And it also led to painful experiences for me, in and out of relationships, in and out of jobs, not really knowing what I wanted to do and just trying to find a place where I can adapt and, like you said, settle. But I never really settled. I never settled. I could never settle for for what was going on around me, and I could never really adapt to the energy that I knew wasn't really authentic. It wasn't really who I was. I had to put on this face every time I went out. You know, I could only really be who I was, who I am, you know, like in the privacy of my own home, my bedroom. You know, I can only do my prayers, you know, there. You know, I can only speak from my heart and express authentically there. And I wanted to do that outwardly. I wanted to be able to express that outwardly. And I found a way to start doing that through the angels, the angelic teachings. And Archangel Michael came along and picked me up and said, "Here, I've got something for you." So I got involved with starting to work with angels and starting to commune with them. And kind of like you, I was inspired to go to bookstores and, you know, seek out things, you know, understandings and teachings that really felt like an alignment that I wanted to know more about, and things that interested me. I had an interest in the Galactic Federation and UFOs too at some point, and I had interest in, you know, the cosmos and exploring space. Mm-hmm. But I knew that when I found the angels and when I found, you know, I discovered that there are these God beings who are here to help us and to commune with us. But, you know, and learning that we've sort of kind of shut down our, you know, those inner senses that can see them and hear them all the time, you know, those clairaudient and claircognizant and, you know, those gifts that we naturally have, you know, they close down after a while when we're subject to outer world conditioning for so long. But I was interested in opening that up and developing my gifts to commune with the angels so that I could find out how to bring this authentic, you know, part of myself that I know is God through me, and to help others to show them that that's really what they have in them too. So that's how I started.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I can relate to all that as well. I wasn't quite as in the flow with spirit as you. I mean, I kind of rebelled for a while before I kind of got back into spiritualism, and I kind of turned my back on the church and Christianity, and I basically didn't want to know it. So it's become really interesting how it's kind of come all full circle, because I went into the alternative spiritual path. I studied some of the Eastern philosophies, and I studied some of the shapes. Philosophies and a bit of this and a bit of the other. A bit of an eclectic, really, I have to say. I kind of think of myself a bit like a jack of all trades and a master of none, and I kind of developed my own philosophy. But I also spent 10 years studying mysticism and what they call the cosmic creation, which was quite an experience as well. And then in the early, I think it was 2003, after another failed kind of business attempt to open up a healing center, which kind of didn't really work, and I broke up with yet another relationship, a voice in my head said, you need professional help. And by that time, I was receiving information from an organization called the Psychology of Vision. And I finally relented. I thought, okay, let's give it a go then. Because by that time, I thought I'd learnt a lot already through my spirituality and philosophy and all that. I thought I kind of knew it all. But what I hadn't realized was that there was a part of me that still needed healing, and it was a very deep emotional wounds. And when I got into the Psychology of Vision, you know, it really opened me up, and I allowed myself to start feeling my feelings and getting in touch with parts of me that I hadn't been in touch with for a long time and expressing my emotions. I found it very difficult in the beginning because, like most people, I suppressed my feelings or I denied them. And it's probably the worst thing I could do because that's why I was in so much pain, one of the reasons. And so I did 5 years in the Psychology of Vision, and they taught me how to handle and manage my emotions and my feelings. And also around about that time, I started doing some meditation with the Vipassana, which helped me a lot because that's working purely with the sensations in the body. It allows you to sort of just work with the feelings, and it keeps you present with what is. And that's what I like about the Psychology of Vision and Vipassana. They complement each other because you're dealing with the reality of the moment with what actually is. There are lots of tools and techniques we use which teach us, you know, to visualize this and to have this image and to have this invocation, which are all wonderful techniques. But I particularly like the Psychology of Vision, which was largely based in the Course in Miracles. So that was kind of my introduction to Course in Miracles for that very reason. That way I wasn't kind of deluding myself because the mind is very imaginative. I never knew for certain 100%, you know, where my information was coming from or my whatever. But when I was working with the reality of what is present here and now, that's, I knew that that was the reality as it is. And so as I did that, it brought me to a deeper inner peace. Because for many years, I didn't really have peace. And I remember thinking that I really wanted this inner peace and to be in touch with that. Because I'd had experiences of it, enlightenment experiences along the way. And that became more and more the thing for me, is to have this peace. Because it was all well and good having this knowledge, but I was still reacting to people. I was still reacting to situations in life.
If someone wants to call in, actually, if someone wants to call in and talk to either of us and ask us a question or just share maybe on what we're talking about here, which is, you know, how we've, you know, some of our backgrounds and getting started on the path and what, you know, our further awakenings, what led us to the teachings that we are currently involved with. So if you'd like to call in, please feel free to do so. And the number is, it's a toll-free number, and I'll give that to you now. It's 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. You are more than welcome to call in and say hello. And ask a question if you have something on your mind, if you've got a problem in front of you and you need some direction. We've got plenty of tools from both ends here that we could share. Tools is one, you know, that's a word that I've been working with lately and trying to shift to a higher vibrational word. Because tools, you know, to some people it sounds like work, you know. Oh, go pick up your tool and go to work. It is work. This is, you know, the path, you know, of light is effort. You know, you have to put effort in if you want to see results in your life. So do you have a good word that substitutes tools?
Yeah, I like to think of it more of a practice and it becoming a way of life. Because for me, I don't really like the word work. It has negative connotations for me. But for me, I like to think of myself as I find what's interesting, what stimulates me, what I find interesting, and so that I make it a way of life. So it's a practice. And I don't think of myself as disciplined either. I think of myself as more persistent. So I've kind of got my own rhythm and my own interests, and I go with what inspires me and what uplifts me and what interests me. And I'm naturally curious anyway. I'm that type of person. If something isn't working, I want to know why and how can I fix it. So that's what has kept me going. It's not so much that I was a disciplined person, but I think of myself as a persistent person. I just didn't want to give up. There were many times when I wanted to just let it go and give it all up, but there was a part of me which just wouldn't let go because I wanted to know. I'm curious. Does that make sense?
Completely. Thank you.
So I just find practices that I enjoy. That's why I use tools like the songs and the music. For me, it's a tool. But I know if I, like you've given me some of your invocations and your decrees and things, and straight away I noticed that they rhymed. And I got really excited about that because I knew that I could put them to music. And when I put them to music, you know, that's something else that I can use. But and I also realize that everything that I've learned could be useful for other people as well. So this is what my pathway has taught me. So all the difficulties that I've experienced and all the little solutions that I've discovered, I think, well, if I can do this, anybody can do it, because I'm one of the most indisciplined people I know.
Yeah, I can relate to that too. I want to back up a little bit, going back to some of that rebellious stuff that we go through when we're growing up, especially as teenagers. I found myself, I didn't have a lot of peers around me. My parents were going through a divorce. My mother wasn't present with me. My father was no longer living with us in the house. And my mother had to go back to work. She had to find a job. And you know, I didn't really have friends who I could really talk to about this and lean on. So I went into a rebellion for a while, too. And that led up to my big wake-up call. And that was actually what led me to the angelic path at first. But I did go through that. And I wanted to bring that up because, you know, it's okay. It's okay if that's happened in your life. It's, you know, it doesn't make you a bad person because, you know, the situation around you, you know, you were subject to an environment that, you know, you didn't really, I don't feel like I created that. I feel like, you know, when you're growing up, they say that you create your own reality. I couldn't imagine how I could have created that kind of scenario around me. But I feel like that was maybe my parents' karma, and that was the situation that was in front of me to deal with, and maybe that was some of my karmic debt that I needed to balance and be understanding and forgiving. So I had to really, you know, balance those energies and find out how to heal those things within me, you know, to heal my past.
Yeah.
And say, well, you know, why did this happen? Did I create that? Did I do something wrong? And what did I do here? What did I, you know, what did I do to deserve this, you know? That was kind of my attitude when I was younger. What did I do here? Because I knew that I wasn't, you know, doing anything wrong. My intention was to create goodness here on Earth and bring, you know, that authenticity through. So when I found that things weren't working around me, I started to kind of blame the world around me, go, well, that happened, and I didn't create that, and so what do I do with that now? Well, you know, I looked for ways to try to let go of those experiences, But, you know, like you, I was still, you know, I had knowledge and I had books and I had, you know, instruction around me how to integrate peace. I think I read a book by, and I hope I pronounce his name correctly, please forgive me, Thich Nhat Hanh. And he's a Tibetan Buddhist, and he's written some wonderful material on integrating peace. And I read a book by him, and it was one of the most profound books I'd read. And I knew that, you know, to get peace within me, that was going to take, you know, quote, work. Because yeah. I knew I was, you know, and it was the energies that I was feeling from, you know, all these experiences that were still with me that had yet to be healed. And the reason why it kind of feels like a tedious task is because you've not only got that going on in your life, but you've also got the current circumstances going on that are just kind of feeding that. And it's kind of making that energy bigger. And So at first, it's really, there's a lot of resistance. What feels like resistance to that peace coming in. Because you try, and I've tried to integrate that peace and do these meditations, and I feel good for a little while, and then when I'm done, everything comes rushing back in. So how do I maintain that peace, and how do I, you know, keep all that stuff from rushing back in that doesn't feel good? So that journey is, you know, like you say, you know, you're inspired to do things that help you to remember the invocations and the decrees. And you do things that are, you're inspired to do things for yourself that, you know, allow you to express your authentic, you know, self, your soul, your God self. So that's what I looked for. I started writing my own poems. And I started doing, you know, kind of my own ritual of what felt good to me to wake up and, you know, greet the sun and be grateful for another day. You know, simple things like that to just start turning my whole perception around and go, wow, look at what a beautiful morning this is. I want to go sit outside and just, you know, be still in the grass or just watch, you know, look at the garden and admire it or just be still. So I started getting still and, you know, looking around me and being grateful. And those were some of the things I started doing to kind of get me more peaceful. Because, and I've also found that I've had to get more peaceful in order to be in a place where I can actually look at what really happened in my life and look at that and go, wow, you know, to kind of see the bigger picture, you have to be still and, you know, tune out the noise that's around you and look at what's around you, that your lens, the periphery of your vision starts to open up. When that happens, you can see more clearly, oh, I see what happened over there. And when you really know, when you remember and understand that everyone really is inherently good inside their hearts and everyone really means to do well, and they're just really kind of caught up in this negative momentum of karma that, you know, mankind has created, you know, mainly from ignorance, you know, not having the truth, you know, growing up, you know, then you start to understand, then, you know, you start to integrate something called compassion. And that's an understanding that allows you to see the truth and, you know, be able to forgive it, embrace it, and say, oh, okay, I understand now where you were with that. You didn't know that you were actually making a mistake there. I can forgive that. Yeah. And then that's when forgiveness started happening for me. And then things started getting easier. Because as soon as I started forgiving the first things, you know, the biggest things, I found that I could move through other things that felt like they were, you know, too big or too, you know, overwhelming, I guess, energetically, to really look at, because I was afraid to go there and feel that. But I knew that if I were to forgive it, I could release it, and I could feel, you know, that peace again, and then I could be at peace with that relationship, with that person, with that situation, and put it to rest, and then I could move forward. So that's what I started doing, and everything really started opening up and flowing when I started doing that. And I kind of just felt my way into that. I didn't really have a lot of teachings that showed me how to do that, but I did have, you know, everything that I was looking for.
Yeah.
I would do internet searches, and I would find really nice websites that would have some of those instructions, like some of the Celtic teachings, even some pagan teachings, some Tree of Life teachings. You know, I went into different various teachings, Hindu teachings, Vedic teachings, Indian teaching, you know, and I have kind of a mixed, I guess, ball of various teachings that were really helpful to me at a time when I was searching.
Yeah.
For what's the right path for me, and, you know, do I go here, do I go there? And, like, everything that I came across was resonant for me, you know, to some extent, but it would always stop at some point where I would find myself surpassing the teaching, and I go, well, this is not complete. I need more than this. And, you know, then I'd go to the next thing, and I would find, well, this is great. I feel like I found it. And I would feel that way every time I found one of these teachings. And
yeah, that's pretty much how it was for me as well.
Okay.
Yeah, very similar. Yeah. Yeah, you did mention a few points there, and I think one of the most important points you talked about was forgiveness. And forgiveness is very much the key of the Course in Miracles. And for me, the biggest forgiveness that I had to learn was to kind of learn to forgive myself. And it was all about self-acceptance. Because, I mean, as I grew up, you know, I had a lot of bad feelings. And what I discovered that what tends to happen with children at a young age is they begin to mistake feeling bad with being bad. And it becomes such a habit that, because I remember thinking it myself, I was always feeling bad. So I think there must be something wrong with me. I'm always feeling bad. So I grew up with this feeling that somehow I wasn't good enough. And I had a lot of guilt because, like yourself, I was brought up as a Catholic. And so I had a good dose of Italian, Welsh, Catholic upbringing. And so there was a lot of that I had to deal with. There was feelings of shame and guilt and these things. But when I discovered the Course in Miracles, because the Course in Miracles and the Psychology of Vision, it does say that... it says that nothing real can be threatened and nothing unreal exists. So basically, it says that everything that we believe in life is part of the unreal, because it all came up when the mind began to believe in the separation from God.
Yes.
That's when they call this whole belief system that we've all accepted on Earth, we call it the ego, basically. But it's basically, it's just a belief system, the thinking system that runs this planet. And this, and I was thinking about it again this morning, that this thinking system appears to be separate from the oneness, it also within it is separate again, because it's created this duality called good and evil, right and wrong, good and bad. And in the Course in Miracles, they call this actually a hierarchy of illusions. Within this illusion that we call the belief system, we deluded ourselves by thinking that one thing is better than another. And that's the mistake that we all make. And I found that very difficult to understand until I did a deep dive into the Course in Miracles, because I knew that I had to understand the difference between reality and unreality. And this is what creates a lot of confusion with people. Does that make sense?
Completely.
Yeah.
So how do you know what's real and what's unreal? How does the Course in Miracles, how does that come into play for you? How does that teach you, you know, what point in the Course in Miracles did you discover that, oh, you know, was it just more exposure to more of the lessons, or was it, did you practice with one, you know, understanding at a time, or was it a mixture of that and your own inspirational work that was coming through you?
I think I had a basic understanding, but I needed to do some practice, which with my own mind. I realized that my own mind was creating resistance, and my ego created patterns where I get confused. And so I knew I had to sort of make a practice and an effort on a regular basis to remember the oneness. And basically what happens with the ego is you can tell when the ego is running your life, because there's pain and there's discomfort and there's struggle. Things don't seem to work out. When you're in the flow of the truth and reality, there is a flow wherein they call it, it's like being in the zone. Everything just kind of flows. Because what happens is when you're in oneness, oneness is another word for love, basically. And Sai Baba described love. He says, love comes and grows. Everything else comes and goes. So basically, the way to know the oneness and the truth is that the truth is eternal. It's changeless. But everything else in the manifested world comes and goes. And it's just made up by the ego. And it's always involved with the duality. There's always duality involved. In oneness, there is only oneness. And the Course in Miracles teaches us also to recognize the voice for God, they call it. The idea is that it's an unlearning process of the unreal, and it's a teaching process which teaches the mind to recognize and be more and more with oneness by listening to what they call the voice of the Holy Spirit or inspiration or the masters or the Christ consciousness, which is in oneness. And the more we learn to listen to that one voice, the voice for God, the more we are naturally at peace. And, yeah, eventually, when you hear only the voice for God, you are at peace, basically. There is no struggle, there is no strife. And you can look at the world from a different perception. Because the Course in Miracles says that every problem is a perception problem. It's the meaning that we give to everything that gives it whether the reaction or the response that it means for us. Because different things mean different things for other people. So if you have a problem, what the Holy Spirit or the Course in Miracles says is that the Holy Spirit works with you to change the interpretation, to give it a different meaning, to realize that it's part of the illusion. And once you realize that it's all part of the game, part of the illusion, it's easier to forgive and to let it go and to have it be changed. It's really quite simple once you get the idea. That's why I like it so much. Because I've done so many complex things, but that was also part of the game. Because oneness is simple. It's profoundly simple. Holding on to the profoundly simple without all the other confusing stuff coming in, that's the challenge.
Yes.
That's what takes the practice. Because you know, when you're in oneness, you're in a state of grace and peace and bliss and life flows. Life comes to you because love comes in and it expands. We know when we're in with the ego because we're contracting.
Yes.
And there's pain. Where there's contraction, there's pain. When we're experiencing tension, there's pain. So that's an indication. So we can use our feelings now as an indicator of where we're at. How are you feeling in the moment? What's happening in the moment? Bring everything back to the moment, because the moment is the point of eternity.
It's the only place where creation actually can take place.
That's right.
Because conscious creation.
Yeah, because the
otherwise
ego,
we're on default.
Yeah. The other thing the ego does, it keeps you stuck in the past, thoughts about the past, and what it does, it projects it into the future. So you basically live Groundhog Day over and over, or it has you fantasizing and worrying about the future, or having imagines. It keeps your mind full of images, and images in the Course in Miracles are what they call idols. An image is basically all the idols that it says in the Bible, that God says that thou shalt not have any idols, and that's what it is. All these wants and desires, they're all pictures in our minds which create sensations in the body. Because all we're really after is a feeling. And what we've done is we've attached certain images and experiences in the world to feelings. And we're basically addicted to sensations and feelings. So we're really going after a feeling when you think about it. So we use images and thoughts to stimulate experiences in the body. And that again comes back to what the Vipassana says, that the root cause of everything, there is consciousness, there is awareness, and there is sensation. And out of that, we have an experience, either we like it or we dislike it. We either have a craving or an aversion. Where there is an aversion, that leads to things like anger and hatred and resentment. Where there's craving, it leads to things like addictions and desires and neediness. And the Buddha taught basically to go the middle path, to stay in what he calls have an equanimous mind, so that you don't get pulled by either one. Yes. Neither of those things are good. And they're part of the game again. They're part of the creation of the ego.
And this is what the masters teach as well.
Exactly.
That it is the middle path, not one extreme or the other. If you're too blissed out, then you can't function in the material realm. And if you're in the other extreme of, you know, too focused on the outer world, then you don't have a balance of peace and you're not in flow, in harmony. So there has to be a balance of, you have to have these, not have to, but, you know, if one wants, desires that peace within them all the time and desires to be able to function in the outer world effectively, where there's no averseness and there's no addiction, there's no craving, then to have a balance of that peace within, it's that constitutes practicing anything that puts you in that place of peace, whether it's meditation or it's poems or it's singing or it's walking in nature, or, you know, it's, and maybe even a balance of those activities, as well as a balance of participating with the outer world. You communicate with friends, you communicate, you know, you have work to do, you help others, you assist, you go out, you do this, that, you know, you have animals to take care of, or, you know, parents or kids or families to take care of, and, you know, you have responsibilities in the world and you show up for each other. But we're, you know, and there's this understanding that comes in that we're really here, we're all here for each other.
Exactly.
Because in oneness, when you have that peace and everything is flowing, there's only one of us here. And
absolutely.
So it's the one self in many forms who are all showing up to help each other as this big one God-life being, but in many forms, you know. And we have to learn how to express our own individuality and be authentic, and also, you know, honor others for their authentic expression too. You know, but yeah, we first have to learn how to do that ourselves and respect, love ourselves first.
Yeah.
So
well,
it's,
yeah,
there are a lot of things involved.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Well, once you realize there is only the one of us, in the oneness, there is no separation. There is no turmoil. And within that oneness, you know, it says we are all the Son of God. That's what it says in the Course in Miracles. And what you do to another, you do to yourself. And also with the Course in Miracles, it says that giving is the same as receiving.
Yes.
So yeah, it's about the expansion of love, basically, and having respect. But that does take practice. That is the practice. For me, it's become a practice of being mindful. So, and through that, you know, I can watch my thoughts. But I also, you know, what gives me an indication of where I'm at is my feelings. now I've got to a point where I can take small inklings and I can deal with what's coming up without it becoming a big issue. So it's like nipping things in the bud. Whereas in the past, I would kind of avoid things and put them off and put them off. And what would happen is the little molehills would turn into a big mountain and it'd become a big issue. So now I've got to the point where I listen to what my intuition is telling me, my sense, and say, look, you've got to look at this. I might sort of have a bit of a tantrum for a while and I'll try and avoid it. But eventually when I relent to it and I go into it, and I allow myself to genuinely feel whatever it is I'm feeling, whatever thoughts are coming up. And I trust now that the Holy Spirit or whoever's worked with me, the Christ consciousness, will transform it or give it a different interpretation, because that's what I want. So what we want, what we intend, it will happen, because that's what we want. That is our intention.
Yeah, and if that intention is aligned with the true desire in our hearts, that it's in alignment with the constructive way of life.
Mm.
And that's a good way to tell if your desires, that's a good way to tell the difference between an authentic desire that's coming from your presence, your authentic God self, and if it's coming from a lower self desire from the ego. Is if it's a constructive desire, does it bring in more light? Does it help you to expand your light? Does it help you to expand your love? Does it create more love, joy, peace, harmony in the world? And if not, then you know the difference. Then you know how to realign yourself.
Exactly.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to take a 5-minute break. We're going to go another hour here today, which is a really wonderful gift, and I'm so grateful. I know we're both grateful for that. I'd like to take about 5 minutes, though, and I'm going to encourage everyone. I do a lot of dance work, and it's very helpful for me in my practice to really get up and move and not sit for too long. And I've been sitting for a while. So we're going to play a really beautiful song. It's called Coconut Talk by a dear friend of mine, Yasos. He's an amazing cosmic musician. And his website is yasos.com. You can go to his beautiful site and listen to all of his music there. And he has videos. He's especially gifted in doing the music audios with visuals now. And I know that you will enjoy it if you go there. Again, his website is yasos.com. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. Thank you. And we are back. Thank you so much. I hope you all enjoyed that beautiful song. Again, that song was called Splash Happy, and that's by Yassos. And that is also from the album called Bora Bora 2000. And maybe he'll agree to come on sometime and talk to you all about his musical frequencies and his the way he creates music. But that's a very energetically clean album of dance music that he was inspired to create. So I encourage you to, if you like this really clear, clean energy to dance to, that's really a beautiful album. I do own it, and I love it. I play it often, and it's always very refreshing. So I hope you've enjoyed that. So welcome back. Here we are, and I've been inspired a little bit. I'd like to shift the topic just a little bit, but I have these, I don't do this very often, and I have these lovely Ascended Master Oracle cards, and I just feel inspired to pull one for the energy and everyone who's listening in. And maybe this might be something for whoever is listening in the field. Maybe it's for more than one of you, and maybe it's for me. Maybe it's for Anthony. Maybe it's for all of us. So I'm going to go ahead and do that and share with you briefly. And then maybe Anthony, are you interested to go into maybe a brief meditation? Something that you've done?
Yeah, that would be good.
Inspired? Okay. So just bear with me for one moment. I'm going to ask the beloved Mighty I Am presence of each of our beloved individual selves who are on the air and who are tuning in and listening to come forth and direct and guide a message for us all today, and maybe something to be mindful of, possibly something to contemplate in or after the meditation or at some point today. Ooh, okay, so the card that's come forth is Yes, and the card is Ganesha. And Ganesha is a Hindu master deity who is the remover of all obstacles. And I'm going to read this briefly, the little brief description. All the doorways are open for you, and the pathway is clear. Any previous obstacles have been removed. Keep a positive mindset about the situation to ensure the best possible outcome. Additional meanings. The answer to your question is yes. This is a good time to make a move or a change. Your prayers have been heard and are being answered. You have positive support for this situation. Keep the faith. And there's a little description about Ganesha too, which I'll read. Ganesh is the Hindu elephant-headed overcomer of obstacles who clears your path of any blocks. Call upon Ganesh at the beginning of any ceremony or new project to ensure a smooth start and steady progress. He's also very supportive of writers and helps anyone who's in a bind. So there you have it. These cards are by Doreen Virtue, by the way, and they've been very instrumental on my path. Although, as I said, I don't use them too often. It's once in a while I'm inspired to pull one. And to keep myself aware that I'm on track and moving forward gracefully. So I hope you've enjoyed that. Anthony, do you have anything to share or add to that?
No, I think that's great. It's I think cards are a wonderful thing to work with. I use them myself. The pack that I use are the Healing Cards by Chuck Spezzano. I find that they're wonderful. I do a three-card reading, and the first card is what we call the conspiracy card. So I pull a card, and that usually kind of reflects the issue that's going on, and then The next two cards then is the way through, and then the outcome, which is either a healing card or a grace card. And I find that incredibly helpful.
Excellent.
Sometimes somebody comes to see me and I feel inspired to use the cards. And it helps them as well.
Yes, it's the same for me.
Yeah. I tend to, when I use them for myself, I'll spend quite a bit of time just focusing on the issue itself. And then just feeling through the energy of it and the dynamics of it. And just allowing it to move through me and just kind of surrendering to it. And then when I feel clear, then I'll move on to the next card.
Yeah.
So that's how I encourage people to use them. It's not a thing to just for a mental entertainment. For me, it's another very, very useful practice. So it's really good to sort of just feel the energies until they clear. Until you feel clear and then move on. That's what I encourage people to do.
Do they always clear when you just be with them?
It usually happens when I'm actually working with an individual, if I feel inspired, I'll keep bringing them back to the issue, because most people don't want to feel their feelings. They want to avoid the issue. And so I help people to keep coming back. And that's, I feel, what my role is, until I feel that the energy's cleared. And usually during the process of communication, the energies just kind of clear themselves. They work themselves out through bringing them into the light of awareness. Because people, I think it's important for people to realize that the light that we talk about is the light of awareness. It is the God light in our consciousness that actually, where the power comes from. It's the presence behind, you know, the thinking and the speaking and the doing.
Yes, because it's God speaking, it's God doing, it's God acting upon the substance, which is also God.
Yeah, and then if we call on the Holy Spirit or the Masters or whoever we're working with, you know, that amplifies whatever gifts and talents that we use. So I'm always amazed at how wonderfully well these things work out these days when I just go with it and trust.
I agree. Would you like to, are you inspired to move into that meditation?
I give it a go. Is there going to be any music?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a really lovely song. It's called Calling Venus.
Okay. Well, if we start the music off. What I'd like everyone to do is just to close their eyes. You just close your eyes and either sit on your chair, or if you feel like, just have a lie down somewhere comfortable and take a long, slow, deep breath. Just breathe deeply all the way down to the pit of your stomach. And as you breathe out, just let it be a feeling of letting go. Let go of all your cares and concerns on every outward breath. And as you breathe in, just imagine that there is a sphere of white light at the top of the head. And with every breath that you take in, this sphere of white light begins to move down over your head and starts to penetrate the head. It moves down the back, down over your face, and this energy contains all the colors and energies of the rainbow spectrum, and it connects you with the spheres of oneness. And as you breathe out, continue to relax. Feel your body becoming more and more relaxed on every outward breath, and just notice your breathing. You breathe in, this energy moves down over your face, the back of your head, your throat, your neck and shoulders, and as it moves down, it penetrates every cell of the physical body, going deeper and deeper, becoming more and more relaxed as you breathe out. and this energy continues to penetrate every part of the body, moving down your back. You can feel that energy, or you can sense it or see it as it moves down your arms, down your elbows, your forearms, into your hands and into your fingertips. And just notice any sensations or feelings at your fingertips. As this energy continues to move down your chest and into your stomach, notice any areas there where there may be some discomfort. You might experience some pleasant or unpleasant feelings. Just notice the sensations as this energy continues to move down. Moves down your back, down your buttocks, down the backs of your legs, through your hips. Feel or see or sense this energy on every inward breath as it moves down your thighs, continuing to relax, going deeper and deeper into relaxation. Let this energy penetrate your knees. See or sense the colors as they travel down your legs, down your calf muscles and your shins, down into your ankles, into your feet, into the soles of the feet, and into your toes. Notice the feelings or the sensations in the toes. Pleasant or unpleasant, subtle or not so subtle, just notice your body being filled with this energy, penetrating the cells of the physical body, going deeper and deeper, going into all the organs, into the blood system, into the nervous system. Just allow that energy to go deeper and deeper on every inward breath. Notice your breath. If your mind wanders, bring it back. If you notice any feelings of resistance, just notice their feelings of resistance. It makes no difference. Just allow it to arise and pass away. You may have pictures, you may have thoughts. Let them come and let them go like clouds as this energy penetrates the whole of the physical body and it moves down through the soles of your feet and into Mother Earth like the roots of a tree, going deeper and deeper into Mother Earth, and it connects you to the center of the earth. And as this energy moves down through your body connecting to the earth, have a sense of gratitude for Mother Earth and everything that she provides. And notice that there is an energy coming back up from the center of the earth, up through these roots and into the soles of your feet. And this energy travels up through your toes and your feet and ankles, mixing and merging with the energy from above as it travels up through your thighs, your calves, into your knees, bringing a fresh, vibrant, dynamic energy as it travels up your legs, into your thighs, into the hamstring, into the buttocks, and into the base of the spine. I notice this energy. Feel the sensations. Sense it. As it expands at the base of the spine and as it travels upwards, notice that this energy is able to expand throughout your whole body like the branches of a tree. It travels and fills the whole of your physical body as it moves up each vertebrae of the spine, going into each energy center, which we call chakras. First one being at the base of the spine, and it travels up to the next, the second energy chakra, just behind the navel center. And it continues to mix and merge with the energies of the body, bringing up the vibrant energy of the earth into the second chakra, and expanding deeper and deeper, bringing confidence and bringing strength, easing, soothing, and smoothing away any blockages or discomfort. Bringing confidence and bringing strength and bringing clarity as it travels up to the third energy center just behind the solar plexus, traveling up the spine, becoming more and more subtle as it blends and merges, and you can trust that your unconscious intelligence knows exactly how to use this energy. And as it travels up, your unconscious now knows that there is something that you can now release, something which is ready to be healed, and you don't even need to know what it is. Just trust your unconscious to do it all for you. All you need to do is observe this energy as it continues to expand and travel up the spine to the next center, your heart center. Fill in your heart, mixing with the energy of love and light and the wisdom that is present within each and every heart. Expanding into your chest, filling your body, moving up to the throat center and into your head, behind the eyebrows, and finally up to the crown. So now you're connected from above and below. Notice as this energy continues to mix and merge, and as you continue to breathe in, going deeper and deeper into relaxation. You can now allow your attention to go to your heart center. Within your heart is a divine flame, a sacred spark of divinity. And as you breathe in, notice that this flame becomes fanned and it grows bigger and brighter. With every inward breath, it grows and expands, filling your heart, filling your lungs, expanding and filling your whole body with this sacred flame as it mixes with the energies of above and below into a holistic energy field. And this energy expands even beyond the physical body into your etheric body, your astral body, your mental body, and your higher mental and spiritual body, expanding and filling your whole energy field. And now you can notice that this energy, this bright energy of the sacred flame, the sacred spark, just continues to expand across the room, the area where you live, and this energy can expand and mix with the energies of everyone on this call around the world. And this energy, this bright light of spirit that you are, continues to expand and envelop the whole earth. And you can invite your spirit guides or your ascended masters and angels to use this energy for healing, for bringing harmony and peace and balance to anywhere in the world, to bring light to the minds of men that govern, to bring healing to your loved ones, your family, and the people that you care about. Allow somebody that to come to mind that you know now could do with some healing and some upliftment and some love. Feel that love within your heart, which comes from the oneness, from the source, expanding, and connect with everyone on this call and any other light workers around the world, so that we create a great grid of light, and this light expands, bringing us all into oneness. And just for a few moments now, just be aware, just sit with the peace and the knowing of that oneness, for there is nothing to do now. There is nowhere to go, no one to be, and nothing to have. because it's all present within the oneness that you are. The oneness is full, it's abundant, it's unlimited, and it's eternal, and it is who you really are. So just bask in the grace, in the glory of who you really are. And just allow yourself to enjoy being you. And take a deep breath, enjoying that. And now slowly start to bring that energy back from around Mother Earth, back across the continents, back across the country that you find yourself in, the town, the city, the community, and bring it back into the room. And just give a sense of gratitude. Just thank the I Am Presence. Thank the spirit that you are, and that you are a part of. For God is in you and you are in God. I am He and He is within me. And there is only one thing that you can really do, and that's to feel grateful for all that we've been blessed with. For we are truly blessed when we allow ourselves to just be in that oneness. And now take another long, deep breath and bring yourself back to normal conscious awareness. Become aware of the surface that you're sitting on or the floor that you're lying on. Become aware of the sounds around you. And when you're ready, open your eyes and bring yourself back to normal conscious awareness. And thank you for sharing that experience with me. Is everybody back?
Almost.
How are you doing?
I am here.
I am here too.
Fabulous. I love that. That was amazing. And wow. Yeah. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, it's good to slow things down sometimes and just bring ourselves into the present. You know, sometimes there's no need to talk about, you know, one thing or another. It's good to just have an experience. And that's what I like to share with people. You say, you know, let's just have an experience.
And this is a very beautiful experience. I'm very grateful.
You're very welcome.
I would like to follow this up. I've been inspired to showcase one of your songs, and it's called Because We Remember Heaven. I think that would be a great way to follow up that meditation with that. It's a very beautiful piece. I just don't want to say any more about it because I'd like for everyone to have the experience of that beautiful harmony that you created.
Okay.
Thank you.
But we remember heaven. We can't take anything less. Because we remember heaven, we won't take anything else. We know who we are, it's a child of God. We can't take anything less. Because we remember heaven, we won't take anything else. Because we were made from love and grace, we deserve a happier place. Because we were made in love and grace, we deserve a healthier space. We know who we are, is a child of God. We can't take anything less. Because we were made in love and grace, we deserve a happier place. Because we remember heaven, we can't take anything less. Because we remember heaven, we won't take anything else. We know who we are is a child of God. We can't take anything less. Because we remember heaven, we won't take anything else. From love and grace, we deserve a happier place. Because we were made in love and grace, we deserve a healthier space. We know who we are is a child of God. We can't take anything less. Because we were made in love and grace, we deserve a happier place. Because we remember heaven, we can't take anything less. Because we remember heaven, we won't take anything else. We know who we are is a child of God. We can't take anything less. Because we remember heaven, we won't take anything else. Because we remember heaven, we won't take anything else. Because we remember heaven, we won't take anything else.
That is a lovely piece. I just love that.
Thank you, yeah.
Thank you for sharing your music with the world. I'm so glad it's getting out there now.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about a lot of these wonderful things that we have to work with. And as far as levels go, I stopped trying to figure out what level of the path that I was on, I think years ago, but not too long ago, probably just a few years. I was always trying to figure out, well, where am I and what do I need to do here and where is that tool? Mm. My brain was always trying to organize my path.
Yeah.
Like, well, for this stage, maybe I'll need that. You know, and I've found that you really can't plan what you're going to need, you know, for what's next.
Yes, you see, the best way to make God laugh is telling your plans.
Hey, we have a caller, Deborah from New York. Okay, so is there a question? Hello, Deborah. Welcome to Freedom's Flame Radio.
Hi, I just had to thank you for that meditation. It was so beautiful, so incredible.
Thank you so much. You're welcome. Thank you
for
allowing
me
to share.
And the combination of music, it was just perfect.
Thank you.
I can't thank you enough for that. I was wondering if you have any meditations on YouTube.
On YouTube? Not yet. But
do
I will bear
it. Album or?
I do have some things on CD, but as yet I don't have them on labels or anything. But if somebody wants to contact me, I can either send them a copy on as an MP3 over online, or I could post them a CD.
Oh, that's good. Thank you.
So if you want to leave your details after, I could make up a copy for you. Because I do have several meditations that I've recorded.
Oh, great. Eve, the music that you played, is that from a CD?
Yes, it is. It's
available?
Yes, it is. It's the name of that track is called Calling Venus.
Okay.
And it's on an album, a CD called Sky Dancing Tantra, A Call to Bliss. And the artist is Margot Anand. And you can find it on Amazon. You can find it out there. I think she has a website, too. I'm not 100% certain of that, but you could do a search.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. We're so glad that you called in and that you've enjoyed it. I had a very, quite a profound experience with that meditation myself, too.
Yeah, it's nice to have.
It was unlike any I've had so far. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
I couldn't agree more. And we'll have an archive of the show, actually, after the show is done. So we will have that meditation recorded. And I'm sure that Anthony could, we could take the excerpt of that meditation from the show and make that available if you would like. I'm sure that
can
be arranged.
I'm looking forward to that. Thank you so much.
You're so very welcome.
Yeah.
Okay, have a nice day.
Blessings. Blessings.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Have a beautiful day yourself. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was wonderful.
Yes, and I believe if she gives the station her email address, we'll be able to send that to her. So that's wonderful. And if anyone else is interested in having that meditation, a copy of that, just go ahead and let us know. And we will do everything we can to accommodate that. That's great. I'd love a copy of that from the show, too. I found it very profound. I did want to speak on one thing. It was so profound when it came in. For the first time, I really was able to be really present with it, because I tried to be present with the one that you'd sent me, and I guess I was just really distracted at the time, and I wasn't very present with it. But today, I was very present with it, and I let everything go, and I allowed all the energy to move through, and I just, you know, kind of sat here like a little, kind of like an empty cup, like a cup filling up and then allowing myself to empty.
Yeah.
And what came back in, but what I want to say is what came back in was I felt right before you said it, it was very interesting, I felt this big release, like, wow, and I didn't even know what it was. And then you said it, you said, now just go ahead and feel, you'll be able to feel that you're gonna be able to release something and you may not know what it is. And I thought, wow, I just did that. That was very interesting, very synchronistic, and very, very profound for me. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, it's a really simple exercise, but I think the most important thing about it is if you follow it, it keeps you present. That's the most important part. And when you just allow yourself, as you did, to surrender and go with it, then it just happens. The spirit moves through you, and there's always something which is ready to be released, which is coming up to the surface.
And I feel so much lighter as a result, too. Yeah, and I exactly. didn't know that I wasn't light before I did that.
Yeah. Well, as we discussed earlier, you know, there's always another level that we sort of gravitate to.
Yes.
We were saying, you know, that this is a learning of a lifetime. And I consider myself a student of the Course in Miracles, but I'd probably consider myself a student for the rest of my life. And when somebody asks me, I say, this is what I am. I'm always learning. But what I'm finding recently is that learning has been accelerating, especially in the last 2 or 3 years. And the more I just let go and trust and go with the flow, the more things just take care of themselves. So it's been a big learning for me to trust and let it go, to have real, what I call real trust and real faith, not just as a mental thing, because a lot of people say, yeah, I know that, I understand that, yeah, I know that. But you don't really know it until there is an actual physical response. Whenever we have any kind of reaction, it means that we still have something to learn and something to heal and let go of. Whether it's ours or somebody else's, it doesn't really matter. If we're having a reaction, then there's something which still needs healing or letting go.
And something, I agree, something that's come to my attention recently that I've been working with is how to know if it's, you know, to help people out of story and get into the truth of what's real. And help them to shift out of that, the unreality of the illusion, you know, the Maya, and bring them into what is real and help them to become more present. And one of the things that I have found is when I'm working with those energies, sometimes I will feel the energy touch me and I will wonder, well, is that something coming up within me, or is that them touching me? Am I feeling that? And this is something very common that I have found on the path, is that there are so many people that are trying to run away from what doesn't feel good. Oh, that's not mine. That's, you know, that person's got bad energy and I don't want to be around them and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I've heard that so many times, and I feel like saying to, you know, those individuals, well, actually, here's what's really going on. This is energy, and it's not really personal. But everyone has a tendency to personalize energy. They think that it's you know, Mr. over here or Ms. over here who's actually, you know, doing that. And what's really happening is that there's these energies that they're dealing with in their fields that have yet to be cleared. And it's mainly due to, and I feel a lot of it is past healing, past experience of this lifetime. And, you know, you could go into other levels too of, you know, past life experiences that are, you know, they're coming up. I've had a lot to deal with in this lifetime of, you know, past life karmas. And I've been doing a lot of my, you know, I'm doing all my cleaning in this lifetime of all of those experiences. But what I've discovered is that, and lately, in working more with oneness, is that it doesn't seem to matter if the energy is present within me or within someone else. It's the energy is just present and it's coming up. And because, you know, of the oneness, if we stay present and remember that we're actually all one, and all the energy that, you know, has not been cleared, has not been dealt with or transmuted, just needs that clearing. And if we were just to recognize that that's really all that's going on, and then we could say, okay, hey, look, here's something here. Let's not be personal about it. Let's work with the energy and forgive it and do the work that needs to be done to, you know, make the shift in that energy so that energy can be free and so that it can be released. And so that we can, you know, integrate more peace and expand our light. And then it doesn't become about me or you or anyone else. It's just we're here together to help release that energy, transmute it, and expand our light together.
Yeah.
And so it's not about, it's not my story and it's not anyone else's story. It's kind of like a planetary story. And it just keeps trying to come up through anyone who maybe, you know, has the willingness or can see that there's something there that just needs to be healed, and will take, you know, that responsibility on behalf of, you know, doesn't matter who created it. It's just, here it is. Let's forgive it. Let's work with it. And
yeah,
let it
well,
go.
In oneness, you see, it sees no separation. The Holy Spirit sees no separation. It is the, as you say, it's a planetary problem. And it's whoever is willing to work with it, it will work through. Has the privilege, actually, to do this work.
Yes, yes. The Masters talk about this, too, in that if you can see that you have a responsibility to do this, it not only do you reap the benefits, you know, of expanding your own light, but if you were to also look at it or perceive it in a way that this is not work, but this is really about mastery. This is about mastering energy. And this is about your own growth and your own mastering of this energy that's going to help you accelerate, and it's going to make you a much more, I guess maybe a stronger, more effective conduit to help others also free them of those burdens that they don't understand what's going on and they're still in confusion. It, you can be much more helpful. You can carry a lot more light if you do that, if you were to recognize that and see it as an opportunity to grow in your mastery and, you know, do these things with joy rather than, oh God, this energy again, I got to deal with this now. And, you know, oh God, I've got 1500 things to do and they're all due today. And now I have to deal with this. So that's how I used to look at it. And so I've shifted too recently in that, oh, okay, well, you know, I deal with what's right in front of me and not everything else that has to be done. It's, okay, what's the priority? If I'm feeling something that's, you know, kind of creating discomfort within me, I have to look at that, because if I don't feel clear within myself, I don't function very well. I have to be clear, all my fields, you know, especially emotionally, because I feel that it's part of what we're supposed to do with our expansion, to be sensitive and open.
Yeah.
That's how we receive.
Yes.
You know, that's how we receive when we're clear in our feeling and our thoughts. And, you know, this is, you know, so it's also part of purification.
Exactly,
it's
yeah.
Purifying all these things through these disciplines and these practices. And it just naturally happens. Like you said, it becomes easier and you become naturally in the flow. You follow your own rhythm because you feel that rhythm coming. And then, you know, you're more clear and more able to tune into that rhythm and then ride that current of energy that's, you know, the divine coming through you and saying, okay, here's something wonderful that's in store. You know, go with this. This feels good. This feels right. Do that and don't, you know, don't have any judgment about it. Just go with it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we just need to be in that flow and just drop everything and go with what's present. And that's really about how, you know, part of getting present and in the moment is kind of dropping everything that we think we need to do or that we should do and just being with what is.
Well, all the needs and the shoulds and all the 1001 things we feel overwhelmed about, that's all part of the ego's construction to try and hold and maintain its existence.
Yes.
So in this world, this is what we call the realm of 1000 things. No matter what problems or issues you resolve, you know, something else will crop up, and then something else, and on and on and on. And in reality, we can only live in the moment, in the present. And when you're living in the moment, in the present, you're actually fulfilling your role in any case. Because while you're doing that, you're actually starting to live the soul promise that you made. By being authentic and true to yourself, you're fulfilling your soul's promise. And that's all you really need to do is be yourself. And yourself is the happiest thing that you can do. You'll never be happy trying to make other people happy or fulfill other roles or anything other than being true to yourself. And that is one of the biggest things that I try to, you know, impart to people. It's the hardest thing to actually begin to start. Because in the beginning, you know, we're overwhelmed with all kinds of worries and concerns about this, that, and the other. And you have to build a momentum. And this is why we really need support from other like-minded. You know, and this is why I'm happy to do this kind of work, to encourage people, because I know how difficult it is to get onto the pathway and then to maintain it while you're going through a transition from who you were to who you are becoming, your true self. Because actually, your true self is the easiest thing in the world to be. It's living the life that we've been conditioned to live. That takes a lot of work and a lot of energy.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I also consider myself a lifelong student. There's always higher levels of understanding, to my understanding. And even, you know, our guides and angels and the ascended masters and the whole entire spiritual hierarchy, the great white brotherhood and cosmic beings even out beyond where we can maybe even fathom what the extent of cosmos is. You know, we have an understanding of eternity and infinity and that life keeps going. Well, yeah, it does. And because of that, there are infinite levels of understanding in the ascended masters and all these beings, even where they are still learning and growing on their levels.
Yeah.
So, yeah, life just keeps, you know, it's supposed to expand. We're supposed to expand those levels of awareness because we are that one God being in truth, you know, learning more about itself, our one self. So
they learn from hanging around with us as well.
Very true. We can just be present with someone and just, you know, smile and you know, have a conversation about the weather, and they may walk away with a big aha later. You know, they get in the car and they go, oh, finally they have an answer to something. And, you know, so we're all, you know, even silently kind of guiding each other just by holding the light and being open and not being afraid of what, you know, this other energy stuff looks like. It's just stuff that needs to be transmuted.
Yeah.
Because like you said, A Course in Miracles, it's a great saying, quote, and I'd like to end off with this too, because we've got about maybe 3 minutes left. So, and that is, nothing real can be threatened, and nothing unreal exists.
Mm-hmm.
Is it therein lies the peace of God, or herein lies the peace
of God?
Herein
lies the peace of God, yeah.
Yeah, if you can remember that in the moment, you know, the only thing that's real is love. It's God, it's spirit, and anything that looks otherwise is not real, and it just needs that attention to transmute it, to love it free, so to speak, or forgive it, embrace it, and tell it that it's okay, you know.
Remember to forgive yourself, first and foremost,
too.
Self-acceptance, self-forgiveness, that is the key, first of all, is to forgive yourself, accept yourself, and realize you've always been innocent. Because everything that we've ever think we've done has only been a thought or a belief or something that we've learned. In this world, it's a world where we've learned things. In oneness, there is nothing to learn because it's oneness. It's perfect, whole, and complete. And as the Course in Miracles said, you are always innocent. Nothing really happened. Because if it was real, it would be part of eternity.
Yes.
Everything arises and passes away. This is why we are able to forgive and let things go, because we can change our minds about everything that we think we know and think we believe. And that's why we can be free in the moment by accepting that. And it's a practice. Practice being in the moment and self-acceptance in the moment.
And the more we do that, the freer we become. And
the clearer it becomes.
That is going to, we are going to end with the note of freedom. Thank you so much, my beloved friend, Anthony Coco from South Wales, United Kingdom, for being with us on the show today. It was a beautiful meditation. You have beautiful music and work, and I'm very glad to see it get out there. And I hope you'll join us again.